station for around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing a cake. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way. It's the 411. We're sharing a cake.
This is Edwin Sanders, the senior servant at Metropolitan Interdenominational Church. I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
Oh, thank you, Rev. Let me say hello to Nashville and to all of our people out there, every single one of you, and of course the global family, listening at WFSKFM.org. And over the years, we have so many headlines and so much news that we have brought you in the early morning hours in Nashville and around the world. But this morning we're going to just take about a 20-second pause and a silence for all the hate and racism, that it would end, erase hate, and it would end, and that our nation could maybe one day start on a healing path, because this has been a particularly horrifying week in our country. Okay, our thoughts and, you know, minds, hearts, prayers, everything. We say that all the time. We say it so much because there's so many times we have to say it. It just sounds almost not even sincere. But, you know, this news that we've been getting all week is just really gut-wrenching. And clearly, we know something has to be done. I mean, you'd have to be completely out of your mind not to see that there's a problem. So, knowing that just about every story and headline of today is about this past week in this nation, then that is basically the direction I'm going to go in. Although there are other things going on, I do have a few church announcements to pass along to you today and some reminders. And then our 8 o'clock hour, our book for 8 is a new one. Women in God's Mission, Accepting the Invitation to Serve and Lead. And Mary Letterleitner is the author and will be on with me. Dr. Letterleitner is founder and executive director of Missional Intelligence. She also is an adjunct professor at both Trinity Evangelical Divinity School and also at Wheaton College. She is a veteran Missions Global Alliance member, and she served globally in missions for over 2 decades. So, and she also wrote another book. Does this sound familiar, X? Cross-Cultural Partnerships. Has she been on before?
It sounds familiar.
It does, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
Every time I see a title, it always sounds familiar. But anyway, saying that, we'll be speaking with Dr. Letterleitner during the 8 o'clock hour. Hope that you will stay tuned and enjoy the discussion on her new book. And as a matter of fact, the subject matter during that hour, among other things, is women, ministry, and the Me Too movement. So we'll have that in our scope for the next hour. Now, we got a couple things. Number one, let me start with the housework. How you doing?
I'm excellent. Yourself?
Oh, very well.
All right.
The month of October is winding up. Wednesday, the 31st, Halloween, is our last day of the fall drive, but that's not the last day to give to support the station. No, you can do that whenever, so whenever, ever you feel like it. But that's when we will bring to an end our reminders and our constant letting you know that it's giving time, and we hope that you don't forget us, because we certainly do need your support. And I wanted to, there's 100 plus people, well over 100 on this, the list of donors. But I just want to call out a few more names of people we thank very much for continuing to support WFSK. Miss Regina Lawson. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I think I know her. Mr. Joel Fauntleroy, the Essex Music Group, First Community Church, Miss Mary Hernandez, Willie and Joe, Joy, Jude, Dr. Kathy Martin, Reverend Troy Merritt, Ms. Carolyn McClurkin, Mr. Tom Randles, Mr. Rossi Turner, Kimberly Turner, Ms. Brandy Williams, Johnine Thomas, C. Richard Smith, Joseph B. Turner, Anthony Wiggins Jr., the Nashville Foundation of Women of Color, Ms. Effie Booth, Rosalind Anderson, Beverly Brown, Dr. Eugene Collins, Mr. Kendall Norris, Miss Barbara J. Bruce, Mayor David Briley, Miss Bonetta Bond, Joe Friel, the Steps of Success Ministries. They gave in the early, either was it late, early.
One in between.
I was real sleepy when they came up with their donation. Tony Craddock Jr., he's a recording artist in the state of Virginia, who reached out from Virginia to us, and we thank him so much. Devin Brooks, Cornelia Wills, Hannah Cornfield, Mr. Scott Couch, Mr. Nathaniel Harris, and the gang at Woodcuts, our dear supporters and friends, Amos and Pat Jackson, our good friend Mr. Jason Gorov in Las Vegas, Nevada, Reverend Howard Jones. It was good to see Rev when he came by. And also Reverend Montan McDonald and Reverend...
That's right.
Adonis Lindsay.
That's right.
Adonis has such a wonderful time. I don't think we are ever going to have to wonder if he's coming back, okay? Yep. He once he saw how the cart went, it was on. We appreciate and love him very much. Mr. Michael Grant, Katressa Frazier, Lisa Spells, Melva Black, our own Indigo, Mr. Robert Williams Jr., many of the staff here that are volunteers, they give, and they certainly don't have to. That's not part of their arrangement, but they give because they understand, they see what their gifts to the station do in terms of how it looks and the upgrades that we are constantly making, because this like every other thing out here is technology filled world, everything is constantly changing, and we have to constantly try to keep up. So in doing that as a nonprofit radio station, you know, we want the best. We don't want a hooptyville for y'all, the community. We don't want to represent you hoopty style, because that's not how we should look in our community. So these wonderful people who, and I've just named just a few, Reverend Dr. Harold Love and Miss Monique Odom, Miss Pat McCarroll, Rita McDonald, so many people, Marilyn and Oren Odom, Miss Erica Lathan, Mr. Lexus Jordan, Lucius Jordan, he loves the show.
Yes, he does.
And when he came down, I was tickled to death. You know, he's like, "What's that, Cam?" So we thank Mr. Jordan for coming down in person when we had the radiothon. That meant so much. And of course, Miss Phyllis Qualls Brooks, Van and Theodore Pinnock, who volunteered over the years, and their donors. You know, I just love all of y'all. And Chief Swan, didn't the chief have a good time?
He had fun. Yes, he did.
He had a wonderful time. And above all, because there's so many more people I didn't name, but I do want to say that I hope that you did listen, because during the Radiothon, we had some very rich discussions and dialogues in here. And it was really good to get to hear from various segments of the community. So, you know, thank you to all of you who continue to support WFSK. When you come to the station, you can see what your dollars have done. You know, you don't have to wonder what they're doing. Well, you see, honey, and I'll point it out to you when you come. We have another phase of the improvement of the station that we'll be working on in the coming months. So when you come back again, you'll be like, shut up. Because it's just time. We want to represent the community well and sound our best and present you with quality, because that's how it ought to be. Now, early voting, I know you did.
Sure did.
Was it a lot of people there when you went?
Because
you went our first day.
I went the second day, I think. First or second day. I think maybe the second. It was a steady stream of people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess people who were either on their lunch break or in between. Just people just sort of running and just getting it. Yeah, just getting it done.
Well, I went this week because I wanted the crowds to quiet down.
Okay,
so.
Okay.
And it was brisk, I must say. It was reminiscent of a presidential.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
It was very brisk.
Okay.
And I was delighted to see that they kept, you know, like you just said, they just kept coming in and out. And I'm glad that I studied my
ballot.
Okay. Because I knew, you know, boom, 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 boom. I knew what I was going to do. Even though it's a lot. It is a lot. But if you paid attention before you went, you won't be like, oh, Lord, I ain't reading all this. Because these are serious issues. And instead of just closing your eyes and picking, you know, and then after you pick and it's not what you want, it's because you didn't read. You know, reading is an amazing thing, y'all. It's amazing. And, you know, being prepared, that's something entirely different that would certainly have helped. Could help a lot of people. And that's what I did. That worked for me. And maybe you can stand there and read all that and digest it and think about it. But I just felt like it just made more sense. You know, and I read it a couple times. And then we discussed it on the show a couple of times. And then I was like, okay, I got this. So, you know, I probably voted faster than a lot of other people because I knew just what I was doing. How glad are you going to be when this season is over, Alexa?
That depends on the outcome.
Well, I'm just ready for it to come on.
Yeah.
You know, because.
That too, but.
I'm tired of these commercials because they are so
change.
Ridiculous. Yeah. They're off the chart crazy. And we had Wednesday on the show, Carl Dean. And he was here with us, and we're happy that he was able to make it. And Mr. Lee was asked over and over, over and over, and he chose not to come. See, y'all got to get the inside track. When the Republicans get on there and holla, 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 the Democrats ain't this and blah, blah, blah. Then when we invite them a dozen times.
You didn't even respond.
I know.
I mean,
so I'm just saying, y'all need to know the truth so that you can quit having all these negative thoughts in your head.
I did speak with someone. So I want to say, we never got your. I did speak. I'll send you who it was.
Now, wait a minute. Let me back you up. Let me back that thing up. Remember earlier this year, maybe about 3 months before it started heating up, he wrote a book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he wanted to be on the show for the book.
Oh.
And I'm like, nah. Hmm. Until now we come back. Because I felt like that was being slick.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can do book, but we can't do the, no.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, because a lot of the folks know that I interview, I'm known where I far and wide for interviewing authors. Yeah. So I'm not surprised that his publishing company contacted. But I just was like, I know where this is going, you know. So, and I'm not being negative toward him, but I'm just saying, dude.
But you know, one of the things I notice in terms of why they're not responding, that I suspect that there's a question that, that may be asked of them that they're trying to dodge.
That they have to represent the black people? You mean that?
Well, they could tiptoe around that. I'm sure they're used to doing that. But I've been watching the national news lately. And
anyone
question,
of color? Oh, my God, yeah, I can't go around those
people. There's a question that Carl Dean sort of alluded to, and Phil Bredesen have been talking about, that now all of a sudden Republicans are on board for
affordable care.
There it is.
Yeah.
And they've been avoided. So I could
pre-existing conditions.
There it is. So for all the time they voted to repeal and replace Obamacare, now all of a sudden they're saying, well,
I lied.
Yeah, I would never do that.
Me.
So therefore they're avoiding any media that's going to ask them that question.
Yeah, well, they can avoid it all they want to, but all the people with pre-existing conditions ought to say something. Because who doesn't have a pre-existing condition? And I never felt like that was, you know, because I think it was about 20-something years ago when I couldn't go to see a doctor because of a pre-existing condition. That's when I really discovered that they made me pay for it out of my pocket. I was like, this is horrible. And at that point, I think that's when I kind of became more informed about it, was when I had to pay for it myself because they wouldn't accept it. But if you just really think about it, at the end of the day, we are walking all pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
We're walking and talking pre-existing conditions. How are you not going to be that? I mean, that to me is a no-brainer whatsoever.
Well, if you lose your health coverage because you changed jobs or you lost your job and you had a medical condition and then you got it somewhere else later on with a different employee, then now said you have a pre-existing condition. So, I mean, those are some horrible. About that.
If you cut yourself twice, that's a pre-existing condition. Because I got to go get stitches twice.
They're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. And they voted for it over 70-something times.
It's nuts.
And now you've got commercials on TV with people in red talking about, well, I support affordable health care plans.
Well,
no, you don't.
I mean, you know, just for people that are just not paying attention, then, you know, that's fine. They're just not paying attention. Anyway, coming up next, I'm going to get my pull out of this couple of my church announcements. And, you know, there's a lot of fall events heating up out there. Some of you guys are having. Did you have the trunk or treat thing? Is it?
Yes, that was Friday at Shantania's daycare.
How was it?
It was nice.
The kids have a good. They have a costume.
They always
on.
Have, yeah.
Oh,
the kids,
they,
that's the highlight of their thing. Dressed up as Superman and all the Spider-Man.
Yeah. And I think a lot of churches had the trunk or treat thing last night. It's supposed to rain on Halloween. I mean, because last year I bought way too much candy because the year before I had a lot of kids. And then I had to bring it up here. And Halloween everybody up here. But I mean, you just don't know how much to get, you know, anymore. Because, you know, from one year to the next.
I just turned my porch light off. I'm sorry. I just...
Eggs, I gotta work on you. Quit being so cheap.
This is not bad.
Buy them chips and candy.
I feel like answering the door.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Come on, Lord, we're praying for the brothers. Turn that porch light on. Same. I love seeing the children in costume.
I do too, but I mean.
From a distance.
Yeah. Answering the door all night. That's, I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord. Shame.
Although I was one of those who knocked on your
door. That's my point. Shame on you.
I know. I'm sorry.
Lord, we're working on him, Jesus. Anyway, let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. The month of October is WFSK's annual Fall Fun Drive. If you enjoy our smooth and contemporary jazz music 24-7, informative talk programs, or maybe even music specials, consider making a tax-deductible donation to keep the music playing on Jazzy 88. Since 1973, WFSK has served Nashville and surrounding areas with music, public affairs, entertainment, and so much more. Let this year be the year you make a tax-deductible donation to support public radio at Fisk University. Make your donation online night or day at WFSKFM.org or use your credit or debit card by phone during regular business hours, 615-329-8754. Make your tax-deductible donation payable to Jazzy 88 WFSK. Mail it to 1000 17th Avenue North, Nashville, 372-208. Thank you in advance, and let's keep the music playing. What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems, from tooth decay to oral cancer, are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic. Fisk University and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. A couple of quick announcements that came before I dive into the headlines. This is for October 29th, tomorrow, from 12 to 1:30. There will be a Pastors and Community Leaders Forum at Second Missionary Baptist Church at Halcyon, 1000 Halcyon Avenue. The subject is Straight Talk on the Successes of Metro Public Schools, and that's from noon to 1:30, the Pastors and Community Leaders Forum. And then on the 30th, Tuesday, there will be another forum that the Tennessee Tribune is hosting on the state of education in the Black community. It starts at 6 p.m. at Mount Zion Baptist Church at 1112 Jefferson Street. So there's 2 days in a row with community forums. The hope is that you get on up and show up at these community events. And then in November, for your future plans, the Spencer Jackson Temple, number 763, is having their anniversary gala on November the 10th. And they are 2614 Jefferson Street. the Pride of Tennessee, number 1102 Elks Lodge. That's our neighbors, isn't it? Down the street?
They sure are.
Okay. Yeah. That's Spencer Jackson Temple, number 763, having their 75th anniversary. So you, November 10th is the, they're going to be dinner and cocktails and so on and so forth. So be sure if you plan to support them at the Elks down on nearby Jefferson to stop by and get your tickets to support that event. Now, here's what's happening in our nation. Police say the suspect in the deadly mass shooting at a Pittsburgh synagogue told officers that Jews were committing genocide and that he wanted them all to die. Pittsburgh police said in an arrest affidavit made public early this morning that Robert Gregory Bowers killed eight men and three women in the Tree of Life synagogue before a tactical police team tracked him down and shot him. A Pittsburgh police officer says in the warrant that Bowers was being treated for his injuries when he said Jews were committing genocide to his people. Bowers is charged with 11 counts of criminal homicide, 6 counts of aggravated assault, and 13 counts of ethnic intimidation. The police affidavit says calls began coming in to 911 just before 10 a.m. Saturday, reporting that they were being attacked. And from Illinois, Murfreesboro, Illinois, President Trump mourned the death and forcefully condemned anti-Semitism after yesterday's mass shooting. But faced with another national tragedy, he kept his appointment for campaigning in Illinois. With just over a week until elections that will determine the control of Congress, Trump stuck to his plans to appear at an agricultural convention and the political rally yesterday. Throughout the day, he expressed sorrow, called for justice, and bemoaned hate, getting regular updates on the shooting. But he also campaigned for candidates and criticized favorite Democratic targets. Now, on the other side, a couple days prior, of course, you know, we've had quite a week in our nation. We have a lot to dwell on in our nation out of Washington, D.C., as Cesar Sayoc entertained patrons as a DJ at the Ultra Gentlemen's Club. He could not have known that lab technicians and federal agents had linked DNA on two pipe bomb packages that he was accused of sending prominent Democrats to a sample on file with Florida state authorities, or that a fingerprint match had turned up on a separate mailing. Investigators scouring his social media accounts have found the same spelling mistakes on his online post, such as spelling Hillary Clinton with one L in Hillary when there are two, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz misspelling her last name as S-H-U-L-T-Z. As on the mailings, he'd soon be charged with sending. In the end, prosecutors who charged Sayoc with 5 federal crimes Friday said they say the fervent President Donald Trump supporter unwillingly left behind a wealth of clues about the mailed pipe bombs. Sayoc is an amateur bodybuilder and former stripper, a loner with an arrest record who showed little interest in politics until Donald Trump came along. On Friday, he was identified by authorities as the Florida man who put pipe bombs in small manila envelopes, affixed 6 stamps, and sent them to some of Trump's most prominent critics. His arrest capped a week in which the bombs aimed at some of America's biggest names, Obama, Clinton, De Niro, dominated the news and invited speculation about who might be responsible for them. The answer, authorities said, was Sayoc, a 56-year-old man from Aventura, Florida, who was devoted to Trump, had a history of financial problems and an extensive arrest record and Saik appears to have lived in a hallucinatory world populated by monstrous reptiles and malevolent billionaires. But the paranoid stew of ideas he posted online gives a taste of how conspiracy theories are finding both an increased salience in American public sphere and a sometimes eager purveyor in the White House. Saik's Twitter feed feeds his Twitter feed included references to bogus allegations that passenger aircraft were spraying the atmosphere with brain-altering poisons and that Hillary Clinton indulged in child sacrifice. Saik was also obsessed with George Soros, the Jewish investor and Holocaust survivor, who had served as a boogeyman for neo-Nazis, anti-Semites, and Republicans. The Soros obsession mirrors the preoccupation of President Trump, who recently accused Soros of financing anti-Trump protests and chuckled as supporters called for Soros to be thrown into prison. So, and then also this week, we had the tragic shooting in nearby Kentucky, and just capping off one of the worst weeks that this nation has had in a long time.
Oh, wow.
That two people were shot and killed at a Kroger store in Jeffersontown, Kentucky, when a man gunned them down. Police say the suspect, identified as 51-year-old Gregory A. Bush, is in custody, and there wasn't a known motive, and Rogers said the victims appeared to be shot at random, but now that since that time, it's really obvious that it was a hate crime, racially motivated. Bush is accused of killing 59-year-old Maurice Stollard inside the store Wednesday, and the second victim, 67-year-old Vicky Jones, in the parking lot. He entered the store and fired multiple shots at Stollard, killing him. Police said the suspect left and fatally shot Jones in the parking lot. An unnamed citizen, was armed in the parking lot exchange of gunfire with the suspect, police said, but neither was struck. So an armed citizen to me, it's like that might be okay, but what if the unnamed armed citizen's bullets cause problems too?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like that's a lot of bullets flying.
Especially when in a situation where you can't think straight, you can't see straight, you can't, you know, you're not trained.
Right. You're just an armed citizen who just is, you know, I don't know. The jury's out on that one. And the suspect, he, of course, was apprehended nearby the scene. And in Kroger's statement, they say they are shocked and saddened by the shooting incident. And they are thankful to the quick response of the local police department. The suspect was apprehended, and that we're grateful that their store was able to be secure. And it's heartbreaking to see this senseless violence that is erupting. And at the end of the day, all we've heard about for the last 2 or 3 years is hate and ignorance, mm-hmm. and racism, mm-hmm. and prejudice. So
yeah,
no surprise there. I mean, you know, really, if because people won't call it out. I know some people call it out. But by and large, the folks that need to call it out won't even acknowledge, mm-hmm. that dots connect. They connect. Dots connect. You can't spew hate and garbage in the atmosphere and not expect something to happen. And, you know, as the discussions are being had and, you know, people are grieving and et cetera, there have been 275 mass shootings in this country. And if it's about mental illness, why did Congress make the decision at the very beginning of the Trump administration to allow people with mental illness to make it easier for them to have guns, if that's really what the issue is. Or if the issue is it is a mental illness issue, this is a sick nation, okay? There's a lot of folk in this country that have mental health issues. Why do we want to keep giving them a bunch of guns? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it just doesn't seem as...
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it was President Trump that canceled the executive order that President Obama put forth that kept the guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. He rolled that back.
Well, that was what I just said. I mean, I just said that was the first thing he did.
It sure was.
And his administration did when he, you know, got into office. So, I mean, you know, some of this stuff is just, I don't even think people, it doesn't appear as though they're tired of it yet. I know I'm sick of it, and I know a lot of other people that are just sick to death of hearing about this stuff all the time.
And one of the comments
no solutions
Pittsburgh
anywhere
was that they, you know, if they had an armed person in the synagogue.
Well, some of the synagogues already have that.
Yeah. But my thought is, who wants, it's a place of worship. Now, I understand that you may have personal security that it keep people from doing stuff like robbing, you know, stuff like that. Some churches do have that for obvious reasons, but you don't think that when you go to worship, you have to hire someone to stand there. Everybody can afford that.
Here's the insanity of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely nowhere in this country you can go without worrying about somebody killing you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even at your house. So, I mean, literally, this country has armed itself to the teeth.
Wild Wild West, just about.
Just so, I mean, you can't go shopping. You can't go to a concert. You can't go to a movie theater. You can't go to the post office. You can't go to school. You can't go to church. You know, at some point, y'all, America, you got to think, is it enough yet?
And then when these things happen, we get the tweets from our elected officials that says our thoughts and prayers are with those who have been affected by this tragedy. And then they say, well, now's not the time to discuss this.
And then they'll go on to talk about the caravan. You know, remember the song by the Isley Brothers, Caravan of Love?
Yeah.
Every time they say the word caravan, I just really want to play that song, right? I just want to play the Isley Brothers, the Caravan of Love. Because that's exactly where the pivot point takes place. But in reality, there is not a single place left in this country where you can go without being concerned about being shot. Now, I don't know how you're going to arm every spot on the map. How you do it? How do you arm and train? I mean, literally, so we have become a military state now.
I believe parts of the NRA would love, they'll go for it.
For the training?
Yep, just let everybody have one.
Everybody gets a gun?
Lower
you
the
get
age
a gun,
to,
you get a gun.
Lower the age to 13, why don't you?
I'm just like...
Yeah, students, elementary school students going to school packing. Teachers packing.
You can't go to college, you can't go to elementary school.
College students should be packing.
You can't go to high school.
Yeah.
You can't go to work.
Yeah.
You can't be in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You can't go downtown.
That's the answer to everything.
You can't ride the trains, the buses, the planes. I mean, you know, it's like nowhere. There is nothing left that as far as safety is concerned. If it's an underground bunker, then you're living down there by yourself.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, you could be at the gate of a military base and have stuff happen. So it just, I mean, have we devolved to what? I mean, this is like...
Controlled by lobbyists at the end of the day.
Well, this is a greater discussion that America will really not have, because we're so armed. We would be such an armed nation.
Yeah.
It would be almost prison, prison-like. Everywhere you go, you have to go through some sense of some security. Would Jesus carry a gun? What would Jesus do? Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including TennCare and Cover Kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com.
It's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Wednesday afternoon at 4, we'll get our community news segment taken care of first, then the discussion is on voter suppression and the current political climate. And at 5 o'clock, my guest is U.S. Senate candidate Bill Bredesen. Your questions and comments are always welcome.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. and every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Support for Jazzy 88 comes from Daphne's Delectables Catering and Special Events. Serving Nashville since 1993, Daphne's Delectables is available for parties, corporate events, weddings, or private affairs. For more information about Daphne's Delectables, call 615-865-8675. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. You know, I was thinking about this question yesterday when I was going to the store. As you know, I noticed people had like a heightened looking around at each other. Why, if white America sees everything black people does, like gardening or barbecuing or going to the pool or shopping or having a lemonade stand, why don't they ever see any of these crazy white dudes that, you know, are full of hate? Like, why don't they notice that?
Privilege and stereotype.
Well, I just think that they're blinded to their own, maybe their thought process. Yeah. I don't know. I'm asking some of my white friends.
Because
I really want to know.
These people had to been black. Because you know the first thing that happens, I'm
with
not saying that.
Van with all them stickers?
Yeah.
Man, they've been locked up.
I'm respecting the tragedy of what happened. But what I'm saying is if the perpetrators of these acts had been black, then we as black people would definitely feel a sense of fear in this country, because then we'd feel like the whole country was staring at us, looking at us.
They're doing
we'd
that feel now. Like, yeah.
But magnified to the umpteenth degree, we'd be nervous. But when this happens and it's them, first of all, we do go, well, I'm glad you weren't black. And then we go, now, that's a tragedy. Now, is it going to be enough of an outcry and an uproar to make some change here?
No. I would like to be. I tried all day to be optimistic yesterday, but I'm like, no. Because if there's been 275 mass shootings and people still haven't said, ouch, enough. They still haven't said that.
The guy who did, remember the freeway shootings, and we found out it was a black guy who did that.
Washington,
D.C. We were shocked. We're like, first of all, it's a tragedy. But then we also, it's like for us, it's a double standard. I know that we have our own issues in terms of black on black crime, but there's certain things that we know as a
well, there's white on white crime too.
There
is. There's Mexican on Mexican crime.
It is, but it's worse on us because we're outnumbered in this country, and so when the magnifying glass is put on us at that level, it hurts all of us.
Well, that's always been the case.
Yeah.
You know, always. But my point is that when we're being so watched because of the negative language that has been pointed at people of color.
Yeah.
And why isn't mainstream America watching its own people?
Mm-hmm.
When you see those people in that community in Florida saw that bomb suspect.
That van.
They saw it with all that stuff all over. Dude was all over.
It was Hillary Clinton in the bullseye.
I just named these different jobs and things this man had.
Yep.
He wasn't hiding in the bushes.
Nope.
He was very visible.
And everybody killed. He was, you know.
And nobody said or noticed. And even like in their online posts,
mm-hmm.
in the online post this man had, he was screaming,
crazy.
I'm getting ready to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And nobody ever, I mean, I just think that mainstream, instead of focusing like a laser on everything people of color do, could you focus on some of these crazy white people out here, please?
Calling the police on black folk because they're barbecuing. Calling the police on black students because they're sleeping in their car on campus. Calling the police on black folk.
Well, I just said all of that.
Yeah.
I just said all of that.
Reiterated.
Okay, I know.
Because the man lives in an apartment, and so the lady stands in his doorway and says, I don't believe you live here.
I just said all of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so my point is, you're trying to drive it all the way.
I'm making sure they get it so they understand for sure.
I think they got it.
Why we say what we say, just in case somebody said, well, I still don't get.
Well, no, they need to let me know if they feel that way, because I said it, and that's what it is. I mean, it's just, I was thinking about this yesterday when I was.
No one calls the police when you see this van driving around.
Wait a minute. I was, this thought came into my head yesterday when I was out, because I'm a people watcher, always have been. And I noticed at certain times when people are really like head to toe, you know, okay, you're clear. Okay, I mean, you see that, you know, when you go out in certain areas. And it's when this like heightened awareness of things. But I was like, well, when are you going to start looking at these other folk, you know, that don't look like me? Instead of watching me, you know, this made me flash back to when I was young. We used to say, you know, before we were really allowed to shop in the downtowns and all that without the security people, we used to say, you know, why are you watching the black kids? The white kids are stealing your blind. We used to say that. We used to, you know, just as we would be going out the door, you know, because they would be following us all over the store, you know. So that was our little joke on how to keep, you know, mentally from going crazy.
Yep.
But I think the same thing when I'm out here now. You know, while you're watching all the black people and the Mexicans, you know, the white folks are killing up.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, that's why white on white crime is there. It happens.
Yeah.
It's not just us. No.
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, and I like to put the highlight on that statement because in mainstream America doesn't really, they don't acknowledge that. It's only when, you know, they use it against us when our community is doing the things to itself it does. But that community does kill itself too, just like the rest of the communities out here. Everybody inside these communities are hurting each other. So it's not just a black thing; it's an everybody thing. And now it's rampant in this nation. Now let me get back right quick while we have the moments to some. Let me see what we got going on in the state of Tennessee. Out of Nashville, Tennessee Democratic Senate candidate Phil Bredesen says the northbound migrant caravan, the caravan of love, in southern Mexico offers the U.S. the chance to show it knows how to control its border and the use of the rule of law to handle amnesty and show we're grown-ups in this. Now, that's an interesting statement. You're grown up for real in this country, for real. Bredesen told reporters yesterday the caravan isn't some huge national emergency like if Russia threatened the U.S. with nuclear weapons. An attack ad by Bredesen opponent, Republican Marsha Blackburn, highlights Bredesen's previous comments that the U.S. is the world's strongest country and a few thousand very poor people aren't a threat to our security. Stirring up his Republican base, President Donald Trump has floated the idea that the caravan contains gang members and Middle Easterners. President Trump, that ad just scares everybody to death, is what it does. And later acknowledged there was no proof. Blackburn's ads makes those insinuations and others. Now, let's see, this is out of Memphis. A federal judge there, has ordered the police department in Memphis to bolster its policies to come into compliance with a court order prohibiting them from watching protesters and monitoring their social media accounts. U.S. Judge John McCalla ruled that the American Civil Liberties Union of Tennessee showed clear and convincing evidence the city has violated a 1978 federal consent decree barring the city from engaging in political surveillance. ACLU of Tennessee Executive Director Heidi Weinberg said over the weekend, the weekend's ruling ensures activists can fight the good fight without fear of unwarranted police surveillance. The city and the court believes we can do better, and we agree. The legal fight stemmed from the ACLU's claims that Memphis police engaged in improper surveillance of activists associated with the Black Lives Matter movement. That's more watching those black folk. Some people's social media is so, I hope they never look for a job. Because, you know, some people on there cussing and showing prostitutes and booty shaking. And if you ever looking for a job, your future employer is checking you out. And you might be amazed that you might not get the job. Because all the trash on you, on your stuff, it just says who you are. You know, it really does. It's your fingerprint. Anyway, out of Nashville, a former Drug Enforcement Administration official says he told staffers who work with Tennessee Representative Marsha Blackburn exactly what to expect from a 2016 law she co-sponsored during the nation's opioid crisis. He ripped into her, later suggesting the law may have unintended consequences. Joe Renazes said in an interview with the Associated Press that he told the congressional staffers during a July 2014 conference call that the bill would hamper the DEA's ability to go after companies illicitly distributing opioids. Republican Blackburn faces Democrat ex-Governor Phil Bredesen for Senate. Blackburn campaign spokeswoman Abby Sigler said Blackburn is seeking a systemic solution to opioids while Democrats point fingers and politicize a public health crisis. Meanwhile, a pro-Blackburn group questions Bredesen's investments in Johnson & Johnson, which has faced lawsuits over its opioids. So that will be a opioid battle down to the bitter end, because Tennessee has for years and decades been one of the highest prescription rates in the country in terms of writing prescriptions. So this was to be expected when this state since the 90s has had the history of writing more prescriptions than any other state in the country. Well, no surprise it's an issue here.
So who's writing all these prescriptions?
Doctors.
So we're not talking about the medical field and trying to straighten that up and write that
shit? The discussion has, you know. That of course should be a part of it, but that's not, you know, where they're going right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just you know.
Yeah. If you need a prescription to get it, I'm just saying, you know, in most cases. So these doctors.
And, well, you know, the pain clinics and the different, you know, the pill mills.
Okay.
Yeah. There's, you know, a lot of places popped up.
Okay.
In the midst of the crisis, you know, they were pain management centers and there were places where they were doling them out. But a lot of the pharmacies that were doling them out, some of those people have been caught, you know, but not enough. The discussion, I mean, this opioid situation is out of control in states like Tennessee and Kentucky. And matter of fact, states all over the country, it's out of control. And they went from being over the pharmacy prescriptions to being hustled on the streets. You know, people having so many pills, they end up being dope dealers, and because they saw an easy way how to sell some of their own stuff, you know, hustling. And, you know, don't be acting like that ain't going on, because I know it is. Now, this is also another story out of Nashville. A friend of a Tennessee state lawmaker accused of sexual misconduct has been recorded saying the Republican once said he had wanted to take a teenage girl to a hotel after playing around a bit when he was a high school basketball coach. In an audio provided by one of three women who have accused Representative David Byrd of sexual misconduct when he was their coach, a man identified as Michael Edwards can be heard saying Byrd told him about the incident when they both coached basketball at Wayne County High School several decades ago. Christy Rice made the recording earlier this month. Edwards didn't know he was being recorded, but later confirmed to a TV station the audio was accurate. Byrd has not outright denied the allegations, but said he's truly sorry if he hurt or emotionally upset any students. And on the Democratic gubernatorial side, where Tennessee is undoubtedly going to be in the spotlight this year on the national news horizons on Election Day, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Carl Dean wants an independent investigation into a state official's campaign donation to Dean's Republican opponent, Bill Lee. The contribution came amid the official's department investigation into how a state trooper divulged information to Lee's campaign about Dean's schedule. The Tennessean reports Safety and Homeland Security Commissioner David Perkey gave Lee $1,000 last month amid his department's internal investigation. Records show the trooper inadvertently told Lee's RV driver Dean's planned location. Perkey suspended the trooper without pay for one day and apologized to both campaigns. Department spokeswoman Megan Buell said Perkey's political activity didn't break state law. Urging a Tennessee Bureau of Investigation probe, Dean said Perkey's contribution raises questions about Tennessee Highway Patrol and possible favoritism. Lee's campaign says he's proud to have 6,100 Tennessee donors. And that's the way it's looking nationally and statewide here on this last Sunday of October in the month as it winds down, 2018. Now, coming up next, after this timeout, our book for today, Women in God's Mission, Accepting the Invitation to Serve and Lead. Let's take a timeout, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.